Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls for the first time a guy that I've gotten to know and gotten to hang out with over the past couple of years. He is a pre and post Bulls analyst on NBC Sports Chicago, a 15-year NBA veteran, and a legend of the Flying Illini. He's Mr. Kendall Gill. You can follow him on Twitter at KendallG13. He's also a great Instagram follow. Kendall, what's up, man? Welcome to the pod.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Just at home dealing with this coronavirus epidemic, but, it's always cool, man, when I can get on a podcast, especially with you. The number one fan of Derrick Rose.
You know it. You know it. I don't know. Jordan, how long was that? What, 30 seconds before I get razzed about Derrick Rose?
Oh, my God. That's great.
I mean, it's fine. We got it out of the way. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Although, Kendall, did you play that little game that the Bulls Talk Twitter account put up yesterday with all the faces flying through and you take a screenshot and it's like, this is who the Bulls will sign in free agency? Did you see that? I did it, and I got Derek.
I know. You deserve that, too.
I don't know. I guess that's karma or something.
Yeah, it's karma. You totally deserve to get D. Rose. So, but I've been preaching D. Rose for the past, he's been gone, 4 years now? Been preaching for 4 years that Derek Rose is not done, and that the Bulls should have gone out and re-signed him last summer in free agency. But did you believe me? No. And look at the season that he had.
It's not a matter of whether or not I believed you. I believe that you thought that was a good idea. I just disagreed with you.
It's a great idea. What are you talking about? With Derrick Rose on this team, we're at least 7-8 games better than we are now.
Okay. So here, and this will lead us right into our breaking news. If Derrick Rose is on this team, and by your belief, he does give this Bulls team more wins than what they had, do we have the breaking news of a new person running Bulls basketball ops that I think Bulls fans have been clamoring for more so than a return of Derrick Rose?
Probably not. But listen, I would rather have a Derrick Rose come back than a guy that's a new guy running the basketball team. That's what I would, because I know Derrick Rose would have put this team back on the winning track. Therefore, there would be no need for somebody else to come in. I'll tell you what, how about this? Why don't I run the organization?
I'm fine with that.
Can you make in a couple calls for me, Matt Peck?
Sure. Yeah, I'll call my people and see what I can do. But there's one stipulation. I'll let you run the Bulls, but you can't – first plan of action cannot be in any way related to Derrick Rose.
That would – no. That, if I'm the boss, that would be my first guy.
Yeah, not surprising.
It's all about the bottom line, Matt Peck. Derrick Rose sells jerseys. Derrick Rose puts butts in the seats. Derrick Rose makes this team better. Derrick Rose makes us a playoff team once again.
Butts in seats is what actually finally sparked change. That's what I've been trying to tell you this whole time.
I agree with you, but listen, if Derrick Rose is here, then we don't have this problem, and the team is moving forward. I think that the team, because of all of the injuries that they had, okay. And this has happened the past two seasons. This is why the magnifying glass has been so intense on Gar and Pax, because the team has not lived up to what the talent level says that it should. And the reason why it hasn't is because most of the players have been injured. We can talk about personnel moves. We can talk about coaching. But the main thing that happened to the Bulls is the injuries the past 2 years. They have been plagued by the injuries. Now, do I agree with bringing in a fresh new pair of eyes or a couple sets of eyes? Yeah, I do. Garn Paxson have been at the helm for 17 years, and it's always good to have a fresh perspective. Even if you're not going to change the things at the top, you should still have people come in just to give you another sense of or another sense of direction you can go into to be successful.
Kendall, I'm curious from a player perspective, what kind of effect this is going to have on the guys that are probably are going to be here that are under contract for the next couple of years. How does a when front office changes happen, how does it go through the mind of a player? I don't know if you've ever experienced that throughout your career or even in college, if there was changes, whether it be a head coach or what that. But what is the mentality, I guess, and what is the thought process from the player side of it?
Thought process is this. There is none. You just go out there and you ball. And that's what most players will do. Unless there is coaching change, then you really don't pay attention to what happens in the front office. Players mainly pay attention to what happens with coaches and the coaching staff.
I was going to ask you too, real quick. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you are a part of our show open. And I was curious, since we were talking about Derrick Rose, any update on a autographed book for Matt Peck?
Matt Peck is not getting an autographed book for Derrick Rose.
I have a copy of his book. I bought a copy of his book. I read it as soon as it was available. I enjoyed it. That has nothing to do with my opinion on him coming back to the organization.
You have a copy, Matt, but it's not autographed like mine. Okay.
Well, yeah, because I think it's safe to say that you're a little closer with D Rose than I am. Just a guess.
Hey, listen, Matt and I are never going to agree on this. Okay, but I believe that if Derrick Rose had come back, then, you know, this team would be, like I said before, 7-8 games better. The fans would have been happy. The excitement would have been back in the United Center. Listen, Matt, pick your poison. Zach LaVine and Derrick Rose in the backcourt. Kobe White coming off of the bench. You don't want that? Come on, Matt Peck.
Hey, I mean, I am not opposed to the idea of a Derrick Rose homecoming at some point. I think it has been good for him to get away from Chicago for a while. I think it has been mentally healthy for him to not have all of these burdens and all of the pressures and a fan base for, you know, as much as this whole absence makes the heart grow fonder thing, this fan base and a big portion of it did not treat him very well when he was rehabbing all those injuries and going through all those things and the Bulls were kind of floundering without him. I feel like Bulls fans very quickly and easily forget that ugly part of the history of Derrick Rose and the Bulls. And I don't know if the fan base and I don't know if Derrick himself are ready to revisit that because there are wounds that are still healing. That's all I've ever thought about. It's not about the X's and O's on the court to me. It's about much bigger, more zoomed out picture.
Matt, last year when he came back with the Timberwolves, he's at the free throw line. He's killing the Bulls, actually. He's at the free throw line. MVP chance start. This year when he comes back, he's playing well against the Bulls once again. MVP chance. You don't think that the fans want him back? Come on, man.
Hey,
man. The thing is, and the reason why the pressure would not be on him when he comes back is because now you look at Derrick in his role with the Timberwolves and the Pistons. He's humble. Okay, I accept. I'm not the MVP anymore, but I'm still – on certain nights, one of the best players in this league as far as putting the ball in the basket. Now, I know that this is Zach LaVine's team. This is Lauri Markkanen, and this is Kobe White. Those are the cornerstones. I'm just here just to mentor these guys and groom these guys. I'm a former MVP, and I can still play. That's how I look at it.
I mean, I don't deny that Derrick Rose got MVP chance when he was wearing a different jersey playing in Chicago because the fan base still has that much love for him. I'm just saying, just because any significant portion of this fan base wants him back doesn't mean that they know what's best for them and what's best for him. It's like, hey, you know what? Dogs love chocolate. If they eat too much chocolate, they're going to die. Just like that's how I view the Bull fan obsession with Derrick Rose.
The guy, hey, listen, if the Detroit Pistons, much like the Chicago Bulls, had been 500, Derrick Rose makes the All-Star team. If the Bulls are 500, Zach LaVine makes the All-Star team.
Cool.
Okay?
And now, if those things happen, again, we're not talking about the Bulls having a completely revamped front office, which I think the fan base wanted more so.
Well, the one thing that cures everything about questions about the front office, questions about the coach, questions about the players is winning. And I think that if Derrick Rose comes back here, they win. And we are not talking about this right now.
Okay. I absolutely agree with that point. Winning solves everything. Speaking of things that we will never agree on, and speaking about the cornerstones of this team, I wouldn't say that you and I are on polar opposite ends on the view of Lauri Markkanen, who you just mentioned as a cornerstone piece of this rebuild. He's coming off a really rough year. You know, you look for players, especially those high lottery pick players, to make that big jump in year three. He had injury-shortened seasons in his rookie year and his second year. We've seen some promising things, but we also this season saw what you could only call regression. And I'm with you in that I think this is partly on Lauri himself, and he bears some responsibility for the bad season he just had. But I also think that Jim Boylan and that system did him no favors, and Lauri essentially said as much himself. Do you think that Lauri is worth keeping around and trying to fix with whoever the new coach is, assuming Jim Boylan is gone?
Well, you got to for at least a year, because you can't really make any moves unless you move Zach. So, you know, I think that they will give him a year to see what happens under this new leadership in the front office. And we don't know whether Boylan is going to be there or not after come the next season. So, but, you know, aside from that, Matt, aside from all that stuff, yeah, I think Jim Boylan's system didn't fit the strengths of Lauri Markkanen. But let's put all that aside. I want to see the growth in Lauri Markkanen. I want to see him, because good players, Matt, can flourish in any system. They can be successful, okay? And that's what I'm waiting to see what Lauri does. Will he take the bull, no pun intended, the bull by the horns, okay? Will he do what Zach did that one game when Jim Boylan took him out of the game, sat him, I believe, for the fourth quarter. He comes back the next night in Charlotte and drops 49. That's what I want to see from Lauri Markkanen. If he can show me that, then I'm good with him with this franchise. But if he can't, then I think you have to move on.
How do the Bulls get to that point, though? You know, for a lot of the time, and obviously you know this from watching all of the games, there's 5, 6, 7 minute stretches where Lauri will go without even touching the ball. Is that more on him, or is that his teammates, or is that a combination of both? And I guess what would growth over the next year look like in Lowry's game in your eyes that would make you say, you know what, I want to keep this guy around long term?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think it's a combination of Lauri not being assertive enough, and I think it's a combination of the coaching staff and the system. Jim Boylan's system is equal opportunity. Everybody can shoot the basketball. But if you're going to have a championship level team or a contender, a playoff team, there has to be, Matt, you ready to charge me for this?
A what? What does there need to be?
A pecking order.
There it is.
There has to be a pecking order.
I'll be looking for your $1 Venmo any second now.
Okay. No, I cash out. I'm cash out.
Okay.
So I think that is the problem. Now that Lauri has been, I give him a pass for the injuries that he had. Okay, but now the pecking order is Zach LaVine, Kobe Bryant. I'm sorry, Kobe White, and Lauri Markkanen. Maybe Otto Porter. Maybe before Lauri Markkanen. We don't know. So the thing is, if I'm Lauri, I have to go and establish myself. Listen, I know Zach is the guy, but I'm second in line. Get me the basketball. Demand the basketball on the post. Stop being out on the perimeter looking for shots. And when you get the basketball out there, don't just relegate yourself to exclusively being a three-point shooter. Drive the ball to the basket. You have the skills. You're 7 foot tall. Okay? Take those little guys down in the post, mid-post. Forget this. Either we need a three or we need a layup. No. Play your game. That's exactly what Zach LaVine did. That's exactly what Kobe White did when he turned it around this last past month. before the season was suspended. They just started playing to their instinct, and that's exactly what Lauri Markkanen has to do.
We're talking with Kendall Gill here on Locked On Bulls, 15-year NBA vet and a Bulls analyst for NBC Sports Chicago. Follow him on Insta at Official Kendall Gill. Follow him on Twitter at KendallG13. Kendall, you brought up Coby White and the impressive stretch that he had before this season was unfortunately cut short. You know, he won Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month honors for that amazing run in February. He had that trio of, you know, three straight games where he scored 30-plus off the bench, which had never been done before. In the NBA by a rookie coming off the bench, like all these wonderfully impressive things. Then he finally gets that start and that opportunity from Jim Boylan. And then the season shuts down. What do you think it took too long to make that transition? And as we move forward and potentially with new evaluating eyes with this young roster, do you think you saw enough to say, let's go further in the Coby White as starting point guard of the future experiment?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. I mean, because, you know, now that he had such a great month of February, I think he was rookie of the month in the Eastern Conference for February, and then you put him in the starting lineup and he still does the same thing. You know, he still scores the basketball. And now that you see, you could have one of the most potent scoring backcourts in the league in Coby White and Zach LaVine. Now, if you have somebody else come along with him, now we're starting to build upon something. So I believe you leave Coby White in the starting lineup. You bring Satoransky off of the bench. I don't know where Chris Dunn is in this scenario now. Now that you have a new front office and the coaching staff is, we don't know who they're going to bring in. So, as far as Chris Dunn is concerned, I think, you know, he had a great year defensively and you know, he accepted his role, his reduced role coming off of the bench. I think he did a really good job. But the future is now, and you have to look at Coby White and Zach LaVine. So if I'm the coaching staff, if I'm the GM, I'm leaning towards leaving Coby White in the starting lineup.
Thinking a little bit more and going back to Zach LaVine really quick, obviously, bringing in a new head of basketball operations probably changes his thought process a little bit on where this rebuild is going and how this team can be over the next, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. Zach LaVine still has 2 years left on his contract, and he's probably understanding that there probably are other moves that are going to be made here. You think that resets his mentality? Because you could tell over the last season and a half, he continuously was frustrated with the things that are going on, whether it be because of the Bulls, whether it be just because of unfortunate situations like injuries. How do you think the mentality of him, what do you think changes in terms of his mentality? And do you feel like this is kind of a, I guess, a reset or a fresh start in terms of LaVine's eyes? Or do you still think that there might be some tension if things don't go right at the first start, whenever we get basketball back, that'll kind of carry over?
No, I think when this thing happened and it's officially announced that Zach is going to react positively to it, because it shows him that the organization is taking steps to making this team a viable contender in the Eastern Conference. You know, you have to change things. I think ever since Zach has been here, he's seen the same thing. But now he sees the organization, they're making changes. And Zach, even though he's still 24, 25 years old, he's, in his mind, I'm telling you from where he's thinking, because I've been there, okay? I'm doing everything I can to put these numbers up. I have all-star numbers, but I'm not getting recognition as an all-star. What else do I have to do? I can't spend my prime years here and this team is not moving forward and I waste my prime years. You know, Zach is an ambitious guy. I mean, we heard the talk all season long. I want to be an all-star. And he was an all-star. Unfortunately, he didn't get picked for it. And I can tell you from experience, it hurts so much when you've done everything possible and you have numbers comparable to those guys in that game and you don't get selected. So what Zach is thinking right now is, okay, now we're taking steps forward and now I can get with the program. That's exactly where he is.
Kendall, your buddy and our colleague Will Perdue was on the radio earlier today talking about this new hire and this roster and what comes next, and that there could be some shakeup. Arturas and his crew might come in and evaluate this roster and say, okay, this guy we want to keep, this guy we need to trade, this guy is, you know, in the wrong system. And Will said that he thinks there are no untouchables on this Bulls roster right now. Anyone could be traded. Anyone, as far as, you know, upcoming restricted free agents could be let go, let walk, thanks, see you later. Would you agree with that assessment that there are no must-keep pieces of this rebuild as Paxson hands it over to a new head of basketball ops?
Well, there's two guys that I would not touch, and that's Kobe White and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is, I just stated that he is an all-star, even though he was not named to the all-star team. And Kobe White, who's just budding and showing all kind of promise. I mean, how can you trade that guy?
because he's the most valuable piece. That would probably be why.
I know. But what are you going to get back unless you're going to get back a bona fide all-star for him? I'm not trading him, you know? So, you know, he has a bright future. So those are the two pieces that I believe will be untouchable until they really see what they have. Everybody else, I wouldn't buy a house. Okay? but Kobe White and Zach LaVine, you know, those two guys I think are safe.
I don't think anybody's out house hunting anyway. Nobody's allowed to go house hunting right now.
That is true.
The one guy that we didn't talk about yet, and I kind of want to get your opinion because he's had a very bizarre start to his career, and that's Wendell Carter Jr. And for somebody listening to Carter and the way he speaks about his game and the way he speaks about his teammates and just his commitment to basketball overall, I think is really impressive. But it is frustrating to see that he goes down with a couple of injuries over the last two seasons, hasn't been able to stay healthy for a full season. What kind of pressure do you think that puts on himself as far as a player going into a third year? I feel like Matt and I talk a lot about guys' third year, and I feel like people in basketball in general talk a lot about the third year of a career really kind of being a turning point. Do you still see a lot of potential in Carter, and do you feel like even despite the injuries, there's been some type of growth with him? And I guess, what's your overall thoughts on Carter's game and what he could be with this Bulls team if he does eventually stay?
I think that his growth was stifled a little bit this year. One, because of the injuries, and two, because of the system that he was playing in. You know, I think he was really apprehensive this early in the season to shoot the basketball because he felt like, hey, listen, if I don't shoot a three or get a wide open layup, then, you know, I shouldn't shoot the basketball. And I think that he wasn't as aggressive as he should have been because of that. And that's why I feel like his development kind of regressed. But I do see potential in him. I think that if he puts the work in and works really hard, he could be comparable to Al Horford. You know, and Al Horford, I take the guy on my team any day. You know, so the thing is that he has to put in the work and has to get comfortable within it, within the system that he's in right now, if this system should exist, okay, going forward. He has to find ways to be aggressive in that system. And like I said, follow the example of Zach LaVine. Follow the example of Kobe White. When they just said, screw it, I'm just going to play the way I play on instinct. And he's going to be fine. You know, I think I can't tell you how many times I saw Wendell Carter get the basketball 5 feet away from the rim with a guy like Colin Sexton on him. And Colin Sexton's a good player, but he's 6'2". Wendell Carter's 6'10". I'm not passing that basketball out if I got this little guy here. And he did that several times looking for the three-point shot, going away from his basketball instinct. And that's something that he can't do.
All right, Kendall, before we let you go, we have to talk about some fun stuff from the old days. You were on the cover of the sports section of the Chicago Sun-Times just a couple of weeks ago, looking a lot younger, a lot less gray in the mustache.
Damn, shots fired.
Hey, I shaved my man. I shaved. Okay, I don't have that gray anymore. All right?
Okay. Good to know. It's awesome. First of all, have you already framed that cover and put it up somewhere in your house? And secondly, that was a column about how great that team was that you were on in 1989. And the disappointment of this very good Illini team this year not getting the opportunity to go to the dance because of this COVID-19 effect that it's had on the world of sports. So have you framed and hung that picture already? And what are your thoughts on journeying back and how do you feel about these kids at Illini who had a really strong season and won't get to play in the tourney?
No, I haven't framed it, man. As a matter of fact, my mom actually told me about it and told me to go pick up some copies. And I got like 8 copies in the trunk of my car right now. I haven't even pulled them out.
are we going to get a signed copy? I mean, I'm not getting the D Rose book, but can I get a signed copy of that cover?
Yeah, I'll give you a signed copy, man. But those, all right, cool. Those are in my trunk. I got it for my family members. No, I haven't framed it. In regards to this this year's Illinois team, man, they did a great job, you know, and I'm so disappointed that they didn't get an opportunity to participate in the tournament because, you know, when you go to college in a big time college program, you've watched the NCAA tournament on television as a kid, and that's all you want to do is compete in that tournament. You know, that was the case for me. And, you know, I know guys that Illinois hasn't been, this makes the 6th year now that we have not been in the NCAA tournament. You have guys that have started out at Illinois as freshmen, worked their way all the way up for 4 years as seniors, and now we finally get a chance to go to the tournament, and the COVID-19 thing knocks their dream out of reach. So I feel for them, you know, but unfortunately we have to have safety first. You know, I'm in agreement with the NCAA about canceling the tournament. I'm in agreement with all the major sports leagues with suspending their season. Because, you know, it's better to be alive than dead, you know. And this is something that they had to do. But that team, man, they did a great job. Coach Underwood really put the team together. You know, Io really, who was named first team All Big Ten, really had a great season. I thought that he improved drastically from his freshman year, adding his jump shot and then his ability to hit big shots in games. Particularly against Michigan, particularly against Penn State, you know, he stepped up to the plate and did a great job. So, you know, we got a great big man in Kofi, who's 7 feet tall, who will be returning as well. I hope he returns. And, you know, we got Adam Miller now coming in as a recruit from Morgan Park here in Chicago. So what I'm happy about is that our program has been put back on the map, and also the pipeline, it seems like, in the Chicagoland area is starting to open up again to the University of Illinois, which is the way it was back when I played.
Kendall, I'm a huge college basketball fan, and I graduated from Indiana University, so obviously there was some...
Oh, my God. why would you choose a godforsaken school like that?
I was telling Matt this, and I tell our listeners all the time, Indiana is one of those things where if you're not a part of the Hoosiers, whether you were a graduate there, you lived around it, you're hated for the most part. They're like, I hate your basketball team. I hate everything you guys have done. But you've done something pretty unique. Going back to that final season, your Illini team won 5 straight over Indiana, which had never been done in a Bob Knight era ever. And I find that is an amazing feat and something that's probably small in terms of your career. But you also did something that night. I'm reading an article from the Tribune back from 1990. Do you remember that final game that you played in where you ended up becoming the Big Ten's scoring champion? And any of those memories overall? And was Assembly Hall the most difficult place to play on the road?
No, I remember it. Actually, if you guys want to go to my Instagram, you can see the story that I tell about that. And, you know, I actually loved playing in Indiana. I loved playing in that gym. You know, the fans are right up on top of you. The shooting background is great. I felt like their floor had a lot of spring in it. and you would always be facing Bobby Knight, and it would be packed, and you were going to get the best competition out of Indiana. Now that particular day, when I said that when I won the scoring title for the Big Ten in '90, Coach Henson called a timeout. I was 2 points short, and he said, "Listen, Kendall." Well, actually, I was 1 point short, and he says, "Listen, Kendall needs 2 points in order to win the Big Ten scoring title." Bobby Knight knew this. So Coach Henson said, "We got to get him the basketball." So I'm trying to get the basketball, that double, triple teaming me and everything. So finally I get in a foul, and they foul me, and we're in the backcourt, which is by Indiana's bench. So as I hand the ball to the ref and I'm walking to the free throw line, Bobby Knight goes, "Yeah, let's see whether he has All-American balls," because I had just been named an All-American the week before that. So he says that to me. I go to the basket, and I know everything's on the line. If I miss one, I tie. If I make both, I win. So it was a lot of pressure. So what I did is I pretended that I imagined I was in this old gym that I used to play in Madison, Illinois, where I used to be all by myself. I zeroed everybody out, and that's how I was able actually to knock the free throws down, because I didn't, when I shot the free throws, I didn't see anything. I just saw that rim in the old gym I used to shoot in, and that's how I knocked it down.
That's an
Kendall,
awesome story.
You mentioned that you could check out that story among many others on Insta, and I so enjoy the content that you've been putting out there recently. While we're all just kind of starved for content in this weird void of sports we have right now, and you know, whether it's talking about your old days with the Illini, especially, you know, after the sad news about the tourney being canceled, the other thing that I like is these lists that you've been doing. You know, you did an Instagram list, which, by the way, again, it's official Kendall Gill on Instagram, of the toughest 10 guys you ever had to guard. And you did another one about the top 10 point guards that you personally ever played with. And going back and revisiting that list, I noticed that Gary Payton is number 2 on your list of best point guards you've ever played with. Obviously, right now, you know, NBC Sports Chicago is doing this Bulls Rewind series, re-airing all of their playoff wins on their march to their fourth title in 1996. They just played game one of the finals against Gary's Sonics last night. Your thoughts on Gary? You said the thing that made him stand out the most was the confidence he had in himself. Obviously, he's one of the few guys in the league, and maybe I'd put you in this category too, who could occasionally check an offensive talent like Michael Jordan. What was it like being Gary's teammate?
Gary talked all the time, man. I mean,
talk trash even to his teammates.
and he had ultimate confidence. And you know, the great thing about Gary is that, you know, defensively, he could get it done. He was great at stealing the basketball. And also, you know, offensively, his first couple years in the league, he was okay offensively. But then, like, his fourth year in the league, then that's when he really started to learn how to score the basketball as a point guard. And that's what I believe made him great, because he could average 19, 20 points a game and give you 10 assists and play great defense. So, and give you that swagger, that confidence that your team needed. So, you know, he was great to play with, you know, and gave the basketball up when he was supposed to give it up, and took his shots when he was supposed to take the shot. So, and then off the court, he's a cool guy too, man. Real cool guy.
Kendall, final question from me. NBA decided to put some type of entertainment outside of 2K tournaments that they've been doing. They're doing this horse competition. How confident do you think you could be if you were asked to do this, play up against Chris Paul, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, Mike Conley, Chauncey Billups, Paul Pierce, and Tamika Catchings are all going to be a part of this. How do you think you would fare against any of the competition out there? And do you think you could beat Zach LaVine in a horse competition?
As long as he didn't dunk, yeah. Because I can't jump like I used to. You know? Zach is still jumping his head over the rim and stuff like that. But yeah, man, I think I could win it.
Well, and
you're not an NBA player. You're not a pro if you say no.
I think they made a rule too that there are no dunks allowed as requested by Trae Young. So you're saying if that rule is in place, you feel good about your chances?
Oh, I'm taking it. Yeah, I totally believe it.
Yeah, Zach would be doing spinning dunks from the free throw line like we've seen videos of him be able to do. It'd be just, it wouldn't even be fair.
No. not at all, man.
Well, so, Kendall, are you just keeping busy while we're all kind of just sitting around twiddling our thumbs wanting sports to be on TV? You know, I know especially you are a guy who's so active. You got to get out and get your workouts in, your runs in. You like to go to the gym and you know, get your boxing sessions in. Like, what have you been doing? Have you been going stir crazy?
Oh, no. Because I actually get up in the morning and I go out to the football field when there's nobody else around. And I may meet a couple of my buddies out there, but we stay like at least 10 to 12 feet away from each other. And we do these 60-40s that I used to do in college. So we're right in the middle of that. And also I have a boxing gym in my garage so I can still train as a boxer. And then I'm training my sons too. So I'm staying pretty busy, man. And also too, man, I mentioned this on that Facebook Live show that we had the other day, that I've been like searching out videos, man, like to give my kids extra motivation and editing and stuff. So I found one, The Mind of Kobe Bryant. And if all kids, even adults, can approach their profession the way that this guy did, then you know they're gonna be quite successful. So that's what I've been doing. And also, you gotta check my story out today on Instagram. I'm gonna tell a story about my fourth and final fight, Matt. So you guys can check that out. You say you look at my content, you like the story. This one is gonna be good.
Well, I'm sure it will be. That's how I always, you know, that's how I always think about it. You know, the what are you 50? Are you 51? You 50?
I'm 51. I'll be 52 next month.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in much better shape than I am, and I'm only 33. So if you're looking for ways to stay in shape and keep active, don't ask me. Go ask Kendall and check out his Instagram stories. Kendall, real quick, have you checked in on your girl J-Lo and her man A-Rod to make sure that they're okay during this pandemic?
You know what? I think they'll be quite all right without me checking on them. You know? I think they're probably hugged up.
I hope that question doesn't get me in trouble with Wendy.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. Listen, I'd rather have my wife over J-Lo any day.
That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer. Well, speaking of that, Kendall, give Wendy and the boys our best and be well throughout this difficult time. I miss you, man. I miss seeing you. I even miss you asking me about Derrick Rose every other day. I really do.
I know. You know, and I'm gonna start hitting you on Twitter every other day, Sandy.
Yeah, I'll check out his.
I'm definitely gonna start doing it.
I'll check out his Instagram stories of, you know, playing on a little tyke soup with his kid, check in on Poo Junior's stats with the little tyke soup. Kendall, we so appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming by Locked On Bulls podcast. You can follow Kendall on Twitter at KendallG13. And like he said, go check out his Instagram, official Kendall Gill, for a lot of great content involving exercising, involving stories from the old days, Kobe Bryant, Linai, and those great top 10 lists that he's been doing.
I got it all, man.
You got it all, man. You got it all. Which is why I've said, when you use the phrase pecking order, maybe just, you know, throw a few bucks my way. For a guy who's gonna, you
know. I told you, I just cash out your 75 cents, man.
All right. Hey, it's better than nothing. I'll treat that as my per diem for the day.
All right, cool. Take it easy.
All right, Kendall.
Thanks, Kendall.
Appreciate it, man.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com